You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
Oil prices have surged more than 10% to cross $130 a barrel. Gold hit a 19-year high today. The Indian rupee slumped to its lowest level against the US dollar. And Sensex crashed almost 1,500 points today. Welcome back, everyone. This is your host, Kanishka Sarkar, and you are listening to the Top News Podcast on CNBCTV18.com. I'm back here with the latest on markets, assembly elections, the NSE scam, why the finance minister pulled up revenue tax boards, and more on the Russia-Ukraine crisis. First up, here's how the market fared on March 7th. Both Sensex and Nifty ended with losses for the fourth consecutive day today. Except for the metal space, losses across sectors led by financial, auto, and consumer shares pulled the headline indices lower. Sensex shed 1,491 points to end at 52,840, whereas Nifty 50 finished the day at 15,880, down over 360 points from its previous close. Both Sensex and Nifty are now about 15% off their all-time highs, which they scaled in October 2021. Investors lost more than 5 lakh crore rupees in wealth today as the market capitalization of BSE-listed companies came down to 241 lakh crore rupees, according to provisional exchange data. However, ONGC, which is among the few stocks that stand to gain from rising oil prices, jumped more than 13% to close at 187 rupees. This comes as crude oil prices hit a 14-year high. Deepak Shenoy, who's the founder of Capital Mind, is of the view that oil prices may not continue to rise forever as it's a supply problem. According to him, ONGC therefore is a good short-term momentum play, but not great for the long term. Oil prices have soared to the highest level since 2008 after the United States said it was discussing a potential embargo on Russian supplies with its allies. Following this, by noon, Nifty Bank Index was down more than 21% from its 52-week high. Shares of companies in the metal sector, including Hindalco, Vedanta, Hindustan Copper, Coal India, and Tata Steel, jumped today. The sectoral gauge, that is Nifty Metal, jumped more than 2% today, and the stocks of Tata Steel, Coal India, and Hindalco rallied from 1% to more than 6%. Here's another update from the market. CBI last evening arrested former National Stock Exchange CEO Chitra Ramakrishna in connection with a co-location scam. The CBI had on March 5th argued against giving bail to Ramakrishna, who is one of the key accused in the NSE co-location scam. In December 2015, SEBI started getting complaints regarding the abuse of NSE's co-location facility and the hiring and promotion of Anand Subramanian. SEBI started its inquiry in the matter. Forensic audit of NSE was also ordered. In 2018, CBI filed an FIR in the matter. CBI had been questioning Ramakrishna. She's facing allegations of promoting Subramanian without the latter having any relevant experience or qualifications. The investigating agency also found that Ramakrishna was sharing confidential NSE information with the Himalayan yogi, and Chitra told CBI that she was seeking guidance from the yogi. Moving on to the latest on Russia-Ukraine crisis. Russia declared ceasefire in areas of Kyiv, Mariupol, Kharkiv, and Sumy to allow evacuations, while major clashes were being reported between Russia and Ukrainian forces in Luhansk. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Narendra Modi spoke individually to both Russia's President Putin and Ukraine's President Zelensky. His call to Putin lasted for about 50 minutes, and sources say the two leaders discussed the evolving situation in Ukraine. Modi once again stressed the importance of safe evacuation of Indian citizens from Sumy. The entire focus right now of the Ministry of External Affairs is on Sumy, where a large number of students have been living in bunkers, shelters, without adequate food, water, and other resources. There has been heavy fighting going on in this area, and that's why it's very difficult for rescue teams to either get in or get out people by foot or by buses. Meanwhile, Kremlin says Russian military action will stop in a moment if Ukraine meets its conditions. Russia is demanding that Ukraine ceases military action, changes its constitution to enshrine neutrality, acknowledge Crimea as a Russian territory and recognize the separatist republics of Donetsk and Luhansk as independent territories. This was the most explicit Russian statement so far in terms of what it wants to impose on Ukraine to halt the military operation in the country, which has now entered day 12. Moving on to more updates on the war's impact. Here's how it's affecting the auto sector. It's a triple whammy for the auto sector as the industry grapples with a surge in crude prices, an extended shortage of chips due to Russia-Ukraine war, and higher insurance costs. The auto sector had just about started seeing light at the end of the tunnel when it came to fighting the semiconductor shortage in January, but the war in Ukraine has meant that the problem has gotten from bad to worse. Palladium and neon are used to manufacture semiconductors, and Russia supplies 40% of the world's palladium, and Ukraine produces 70% of the world's neon. And about crude, Russia holds 12% of the world's oil supply and 17% of the world's natural gas supply. So now, with the Ukraine-Russia crisis, all these products are going to become scarce, because of which there could be a big production hit globally. Lastly, here's the latest on Assembly Elections 2022. Voting was still underway in Uttar Pradesh at the time of recording this podcast, and now everyone awaits what exit polls predict about the states where elections were held in February and March. The high-stakes battle in Uttar Pradesh, Punjab, Goa, Uttarakhand, and Manipur will soon end as the seventh and final phase of polling in UP concludes. In Uttar Pradesh, the election will be a litmus test for incumbent Yogi Adityanath government, which was slammed by the opposition over issues including COVID, law and order, and economy during campaigns. Akhilesh Yadav, led Samajwadi Party, is the main challenger to the ruling BJP, but Congress, led by Priyanka Gandhi Vadra and BSP Supremo Mayawati, are also expected to influence the results in some of the seats. While we await the result of exit polls, it must be noted that exit poll predictions may not always be totally accurate. Experts say that they only provide a broad trend and a sense of direction as to the mood of the nation. There have been instances in the past where exit polls have failed to capture the mood of voters. The experience so far suggests that the exit polls often present a broader picture of the election, but remain far away from the results after counting. With that, it's a wrap to the podcast, but stay tuned to CNBCTV18.com's coverage on exit polls. Before I sign out, here's an opportunity where we will listen to you. In case you have any queries or suggestions, please do write to us at CNBCTV18podcast@nw18.com. I'll be back tomorrow evening with the top stories from around the world. Till then, stay tuned to CNBCTV18.com for all the latest updates. Thank you for listening.